What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Monday edition of the show. One last time from Indianapolis. Kyle, welcome.
Gang's still here. Not for long. Getting ready to go to the airport probably 2 hours after we finish posting this podcast.
Yep.
And then we're on our separate ways to grind some more tape, and the draft will be here before we know it, and that's when we'll have the gang back together again.
I'm really excited about getting home, and I can just set my board by taking all of the 40-yard dash times and put it in, yeah, just in order of fastest to slowest, and really get this thing, you know, all the scouting that we've done taken care of.
Yeah, finalize all the hard work and throw it all out to just list guys by 40 times.
How about this edge class? Today we're going to talk, we're going to reflect upon the NFL combine results for the defensive side of the football. And, you know, we had Kalyvon Chase on, we had Chase Young. Neither one of those guys participated. And we were left with, I hate to say the scraps with the edge rushers, but, you know, A.J. Epinesa comes out there and doesn't really put together a great performance. And I tried to write an article about the standouts for the edge group. And, you know, it was kind of difficult to settle on finding three guys to really focus in on. What's kind of your big takeaway from observing those guys?
I think this is one of the biggest shifts from the pre-college football season narratives to what we have on our hands now. That this edge class has become very top-heavy, and it's probably two players deep. And outside of that, you know, if you're not getting Chase Young or Kalyvon Chase on, there's a bunch of edge-hungry teams there at the end of the first round. I wouldn't probably be drafting a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the value. You were hoping to get, like, the explosive athletic profiles to pair with guys that you had some questions with on film that would justify putting them in that range, and we didn't really get that to materialize.
Yeah, there's, like, this group of, like, John Grenard, Daryl Taylor, Curtis Weaver, Julian Aquara. You know, like, they all just kind of have some things you like about them and then just some things that give you some pause. But two guys, A.J. Epinesa, Yetur Gross-Matos. Epinesa is interesting. We were hopeful to see a better athletic profile, but I think what we kind of come away from is that Epinesa is a five tech. You know, I don't see enough for him to really be a consistent guy that wins around the outside hip of offensive tackles in the NFL to play in a 4-3, much less Jesus, a stand-up role. They even had him do some stand-up drills here. And then Gross-Matos did well in what he did, but we just kind of have an incomplete profile at this point.
Yeah, I know. The Penn State Pro Day will be big for him, and good strategy as far as home cooking. You know, you're working out at Penn State.
These Penn State guys have been coming to Indy and blowing the damn thing up.
Well, that gets into one of the conversations that we had yesterday about the changes in the combine and how players chose to attack that.
Yeah, I personally don't understand it. We could probably talk for a long time, and I won't. But I something about having the workouts later in the day has inhibited these guys' ability to go out and perform adequately and resulting in more injuries. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, so you have a car, right? You have a race car. We'll do a NASCAR analogy. I know some fans
I'm hoping that NASCAR car can run anytime you turn on the engine.
Okay, so, but they go to a track, right? And they set the stiffness in the springs in the wheels and the camber of the car, which is the tilt of the wheels relative to the actual frame of the car. And they make all these adjustments based on the track that they go to. So you can't take a car that ran at a 2.5 mile super speedway at Talladega and put that same exact car with those same exact settings at Bristol Motor Speedway, which is a 0.5 mile loop. It has not been programmed with the settings and the adjustments and the fine tuning to run at that track. And from a timing perspective, as an athlete, from a high level athlete, you're up walking around all day, you're expending your energy systems, and then you got to go sit on your ass at Indianapolis for 3 hours because of all the commercial breaks that they moved you to primetime before you go out and run.
I mentioned at dinner last night, adjust your training schedule so that you are at your peak optimum performance at the time that the drills are scheduled. The problem is nobody was willing to do that. They still wanted to start at 8 a.m. in Arizona or 7 a.m.
Yeah, because they're running businesses.
Your business is to get these guys prepared to perform at this event, which takes place at a time that you knew about.
Are they, is they only have NFL clients? I mean, they only have NFL clients?
You
think businesses run where...
These are your most premier clients. I would do anything it took to make sure my guys were ready.
Okay, but they can take that same exact training and apply it to an 8 a.m. start time for a pro day.
Right, at a playing field that's not the same as the vast majority of your class.
But they don't care.
It's stupid to me.
Let's move on. We're never going to get any traction here. We talked about it last night, too.
You have an offensive coordinator now by the name of Chan Gailey, a guy I know intimately. He says, football is a tough game for tough people.
Yeah.
My God.
They're not getting paid yet. It's business, strategic business decisions.
They can get paid more by doing well.
You know when they're not going to get paid? If they blow out a knee or pull a hammy.
Football players have to work out. It's part of the deal. They have to work out. Right. They need to be able to play in different stadiums at different times.
So put it off and do your workout.
This is the... I can't even...
Pro day.
The gripes about the time, I can't get behind it.
Everybody hated it. We hated it. The coaches hated it. The GMs hated it. The players hated it.
People have a hard time adjusting. This was good for the NFL Combine, the visibility of the NFL Combine, and that's good for us.
Let's talk about another player.
Good fight. All right, we'll talk about one.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What do you got? What do you like? The Davis brothers, Alex Highsmith. I mean, if there was a name that popped, I thought he was good in drills.
Yeah, if we go into your defensive line, which is when it was an area that I spotlighted, both of the Davis brothers from Nebraska, you could see their sprinting backgrounds, which you don't expect fellas that big to have sprinting backgrounds, but they do. A lot of track and field, and they were really explosive.
Matabuik and Blacklock, and
yeah, those
Gallimore.
Two, Matabuik and Blacklock were two guys that I listed as winners for. They came in a little light. They ran extremely well. And they had good explosive testing numbers elsewhere. I think you've got Derek Brown still the cream of the crop. Do not let the testing tell you otherwise. Please. Then you got Javon Kinlaw. And for my money, Matabuike and Ross Blacklock are the next two guys in line for me personally. And I would feel fine with the team, if you need an interior three tech in the 20s or later, I'd have both those guys in the conversation.
Can we talk about Derek Brown?
Yeah, let's talk about this terrible test.
8.22, 3 cone, 4.79, 20-yard shuttle. 5.16 is okay. 27 vert.
20 reps on the bench is good.
Watch the tape.
Watch the tape. Tape don't lie.
I think that more than anything with Brown is I don't think he prepared for this event. And maybe the better thing to do in his circumstance, if he wasn't ready to run these drills at his, correctly to get a great time, is to have not participated. But
you know what I'm saying right now?
That's not the same. I literally don't think he cared about being able to run a good three cone. No, I like that Derek Brown went out there and at least did it, more so than some Ferrari that has to be perfectly tuned up to run a good time, sitting his ass out because he wants to do it where it's comfortable for him.
Okay. I got you. I feel you.
I can't even get inside the mentality. I can't even begin to think about the dynamics that you're preaching right now. All right, anything else on these defensive linemen?
No, this was, I said this the other night, this was a disappointingly boring...
Edge. The interior guys were good. I liked them all.
Yeah, the edge class was super disappointing.
Yeah.
It was just not a lot of action there at all.
All right, Isaiah Simmons is fast.
Okay, yeah, we knew that. We knew he was explosive.
Right.
And he lived up to the billing of a freak athlete, and I think in the grand scheme of things, that makes him a lock to be one of the top 10 to 12 picks.
So here's the deal with Isaiah Simmons. We didn't learn a thing about Isaiah Simmons. We knew he was big and explosive. But here's the good news for us. We can mock draft him to teams and they won't yell at us anymore.
Right. because when Isaiah, when we just thought Isaiah Simmons was a freak athlete and you could play him anywhere, but you didn't have a defined role, fans in mock drafts don't want to hear that. They want to say, hey, we want a guy that's going to check a box for us. He's not going to check a box. He checks four boxes. And as far as everything he did at the combine, he checked every box he needs to check.
Yeah. I was on Cleveland radio Sunday morning. And every time we talk Cleveland, it's safeties and offensive tackles. This guy's like, how do I get Isaiah Simmons? Where were they, pick 10 or 12?
12's Raiders.
Is it 11? Where is it?
10. Jets. Browns is 10.
Okay, so 10. Like, how can, what's the course for Isaiah Simmons getting to 10? I'm like, I mocked Isaiah Simmons to the Browns in January, and they were pissed at me.
Right, and then you got yelled at. That's the thing.
Thank God for this 4-3-9.
There's such an ebb and flow for what you want, right? Nobody knows what they want. You think you want Tua Tagovailoa, and now you want Justin Herbert. Nobody knows what they want. It's an endless, vicious cycle.
You need to crack open a nice bottle of Malbec and have a session with the people about your newfound direction at quarterback one
okay.
time.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Just a little video.
Yeah.
Just maybe a candle.
I'll set up a camcorder up behind my couch. Then we get the big screen, and it'll be shot over my shoulder. And we'd just be swirling a glass of wine around.
You know who else is fast, Kyle?
Pulling in the nodes. Patrick Queen,
Kenneth Murray.
Yep. Fingers crossed for their hamstrings.
Jordan Brooks, too. Good time, 4.54.
Yeah, that is a good time.
And he's like...
Zach Bond had a good day, by the way.
Oh, Zach Bond. I would...
You would like to have him on your football team.
I would. I really would.
What was his full testing results? Just pull up his name real quick. Just click over. Yeah. Scroll down.
Did you see it down here?
Yeah, he's down there. Begins with a B.
They're not in alphabetical order. So if I were to sort them in alphabetical order like this, I would get there a lot quicker.
Zach, Joe Bacci had a good day too, by the way.
Kyle just loves Penn State or Big Ten linebackers.
The brand is alive and well.
Yeah,
I was a big fan of his in the summer. So Zach Bond, 4.65, 24 on the bench, 32.5 in the vert, 9'7" on the broad.
Should do a math on the fly, man.
7-second 3-cone. 7-second 3-cone is a great time for him.
Good human being, good football player. Really like his hybrid skill set to fill multiple roles, and I have little doubt that he's going to be a really, really solid player in the NFL. I like Zach Bond a lot. What about Willie Gay, man?
Explosive.
Holy shit.
He's not a guy whose tape I've actually got a chance to watch yet.
It's not just the 4.46.
Right. It's...
It's the entire package here. I mean, he was crazy, like, intense during drills, and he goes out 39.5 in the vertical jump.
11.4?
136 inches in the broad.
Yeah, 11.4 in the broad.
Almost a 7.3 cone. I mean, I know that he's got some funky stuff with, like, maybe punching some teammates and doing some weird stuff off the field, but, man... That guy's an animal.
Hey, man, my offensive coordinator, Chan Gailey, says football's a sport for tough people. So if he's punching people, I don't care.
It's a tough game for tough people.
Tough
game for tough people. We got to talk about Malik Harrison. How about this guy? 6'3", 247, 10.25 hands, almost 33-inch arms, runs 4.66, which is a really good time for his size.
Yeah.
Right? Physical player, 36 in the vert, 122 in the broad. How about this? A 6.83 3-cone for my guy.
Doesn't make any sense. That's a great, amazing time. And I didn't think he had
that kind of
transition.
This is a guy who must have trained at the right times, you know?
Yeah.
Really got himself ready to run a 3-cone at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
This is going to be a thing forever now. This is great.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand. All right, so want to get to the back seven here?
Yeah, let's talk about the, start with
back four, I guess.
Jeff Okuda.
All right, talk about Jeff Okuda.
Didn't look great in the drills.
Nope.
Obviously took that tumble, hit his head.
Yeah.
And but his testing itself was pretty good. He did 41 in the vert and 11.2 in the broad, and he ran 4.48 or whatever it was. So I think Okuda effectively checked every box he needed to as far as his explosiveness. You could see how silky smooth he is in transitions and
the hips. The feet. Those were obvious.
Yeah. He just kind of misplayed a few balls and then
got
a little reckless.
Yeah.
So
sloppy? Would you say sloppy?
No. I would not describe it as sloppy. Because I see what Jeff Okuda's response is when you call his game sloppy.
Yeah, don't do that. Okay, AJ Terrell. To me, the big winner at cornerback. A guy from Clemson here. And we've not seen a whole lot of success for Clemson corners yet. This guy, 6'1", 195 pounds, 4'4", 34.5 in the vert, 129 in the broad. Those are decent times in terms of vert and broad. But the drill work, man. The feet were there. The hips were fluid. And I think that he's a guy that probably moved the needle a bit here with the way he tested at this here NFL scouting combine. CJ Henderson, how about that guy?
Henderson was the guy I was going to call out as my big winner because he ran blazing fast, 4.39.
20 bench press reps is impressive.
Yeah, especially because he's got long arms too, right?
No, he doesn't. Sub 32.
Oh.
Yeah. 6'1", 204. That's really beautiful. But then,
he's at least above 30. I really start digging corners if you're below 31.
Yeah, he's near 32.
So he's closer to 32 than 31, so that's fine.
Yeah, he tested great, man. What else? Troy Pride running a good time, 4.40. How about Kendall Vildor?
Yeah, dude, this... how can you breathe when you're running like that?
I don't know. How about the Iowa kid, Michael Ojemudia? Look at these numbers.
Solid times.
Yeah, 32 and a quarter on the arm, 6'1", 200, 4'4", 5, 36
I'm
vert.
Telling you, man, this is a potential third-round corner.
6'8", 7, 3 cone. Christian Fulton, Kyle. Talk about your boy.
He's your boy more than my boy.
CB2.
You get all combative about him. Another guy that we thought was long and is not. He's 30 and 5/8 inches.
But he goes out 4.46, 35.5 in the vert, 6.94 3 cone, 4.36 20-yard shuttle. And there was questions about the speed. Don't know why, because if you watch the tape, you should have felt good about his athletic profile. Very happy to see him turn in a solid day.
Well, I think that's... I mean, people, you sit here and you listen to the last 5 minutes of this show and you hear us reading off numbers, a lot of these numbers are the same, or they sound the same, and they're very close. The point is, they all clear the thresholds they're supposed to. You're looking for, like, that outlier time that you're like, ooh.
What the hell is that?
Yeah.
Arnett at 4.57 was disappointing.
It was.
Not a kiss of death, but disappointing.
There were a few of those in the safety. Like, Jordan Fuller from Ohio State.
Oh,
he
yeah.
ran, like, 4.7. Yeah, it's like, dude, like, your entire game was predicated on speed because you don't tackle well and you take bad angles. And now you're slow. I don't know what to do with you. And you can't tackle, so I don't think I can play on special teams.
How about some good safeties? Antoine
Winfield, big winner.
Junior.
Because that was the big question for him. You know, there was every box was checked from a versatility and utilization standpoint. It was, does he have the burst and the long speed? Well, he ran out and ran 4.45 official. And he had jumped over 10. He did 10.4 in the broad and 36 in the vert. So he's plenty explosive. He's not super long. He's 5'9", so he's not like a booming presence in the back end. But he was a big winner because of what he was able to alleviate with his performance on the field.
Instincts plus 4.45. It's a good combination.
Yes, it is.
Then we got some safeties that are maybe linebackers here. It's Kyle Duggar, maybe. Jeremy Chinn. Tanner Muse.
Yeah.
They're all fast. I mean, Tanner Muse, 4.41. He's been telling us for a long time that he runs in the 4.3s.
We ran 4.41.
Never believed him. Well, I think if you can run a 4.41, there's probably a 4.39 in you.
You didn't believe him when he ran down Dobbins from behind?
That's when I started believing him, that moment.
Yeah.
That moment. But, you know, 6'2", 227. He's a guy that I think is a pursuit-style linebacker, will... sub-package type guy, can be good on teams.
He's a faster version of Nate Gary from Nebraska. Remember, he played linebacker, or he played safety at Nebraska and then transitioned to linebacker?
I think Matt Milano's more respectful of a comp.
Well.
But yeah, I see where you're going with that.
That mold of a player.
Yeah. I mean, Chin's big and fast, too.
I think a hot take. This might be a hot take.
Yeah.
I think Chin's a better football prospect than Kyle Duggar right now.
people are wanting to kill you right now, Kyle.
That's fine. I don't care. I don't care.
We've talked Duggar on this podcast.
He's just super raw. Yeah. And Chin, at least, I think, gives you some more polish. He actually had better numbers, too.
He did. And he's bigger.
Like, across the board.
He's
bigger and more athletic.
Yeah. With so, a higher level of competition.
I think we could go ahead and put that one to bed. I think Jeremy Chin is this year's top small school sleeper.
Defensive back.
Yeah.
Defensive back seven player.
Like, last year was Nasir Adderley.
Oh, his tape was so good.
Yes, it was. Can't wait to see him thrive and prosper in the with the Chargers once he gets healthy. I don't know about you, but like that's I think we're good.
Yeah. Back to the tape, Kyle.
Back to the tape, back to the grind, back to the airport.
Yeah.
Next. So tomorrow will be takes on takes. I know we've thought about kind of flipping around the schedule here a little bit, but then we came to the realization that there's no athletic testing on Monday. Because they flipped around the combine, so
yeah, this new format just working out.
Yeah, just really, you know, we really need to adjust and adapt. And
look at us,
adapt or die, as Brian Flores, the most handsome coach in the NFL, said at his podium session last week. Adapt or die, and we are going to adapt or die. We are adapting. We'll be back tomorrow with takes on takes.
But we're not dying.
We are not dying.
No.
So hit subscribe. We are what, 10 weeks out?
Eight weeks out. It's like 50 days. 50-something days.
We're somewhere between 7 to 10 weeks away from the NFL draft, so we're getting there down the home stretch.
It's March 2nd.
Yeah, it's March 2nd, and the draft starts, I think, April 26th. So
better grind the tape.
Mark your calendars, hit subscribe on Draft Dudes. Come back, see us again tomorrow. I'm Kyle Krabs with Joe Marino. Thanks, as always, for listening.